Listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We have a series going on about an awesome book coming out from Emmanuel Press called He Restores My Soul, talking about the crosses that women bear and how we can approach these crosses from a Christian identity and identity in Christ, and how to faithfully do that, and even how to reach out to our pastors and to work through these issues that we may have. We have the joy of having Katie Schuerman on with us to talk about one of her chapters in this book, What It Is to Be a Sheep with a Shepherd. Welcome, Katie. Thanks for joining us today.
It's a joy to be with you. Thanks for having me.
So we've shared in a previous episode kind of the background of the book, why and how it came into being. The title, He Restores My Soul, is probably a familiar phrase for a lot of people from Psalm 23. And this chapter, you have the first chapter in the book talking about sheep and shepherds. How does Psalm 23 relate to the book and the chapters and the content that people will be able to read?
Sure. You could say that this book is a walk through Psalm 23. And we're applying the psalm to the different crosses that we bear. And another way to say it is that we're applying God's promises to our suffering, because the righteous live by faith, and we live in faith of God's promises. And so the first chapter I've written, it's called All We Like Sheep. And it's paired with the verse, The Lord is My Shepherd, from Psalm 23. To give you a few more examples, chapter 2 is Fight the Good Fight, written by Rebecca Mays, and it's paired with I Shall Not Want. Her chapter addresses what it is when our sisters in Christ struggle against sexual temptation. Chapter 3, written by Cantor Christina Roberts, is titled What Shall I Render to the Lord? And she's writing about what it is to be a cantor, a servant of music in the church. What is it to sing when you also struggle with depression? And her psalm verse is, He makes me lie down in green pastures. Chapter 4, written by Cheryl Swope, is about motherhood and mental illness. And she's been paired with the verse, He leads me beside still waters. I also wrote chapter 5, which is called I Am Herod. And I'm writing about my sisters in Christ who regret their abortions. And I suppose I got the best verse insofar as it's the same as the title of the book. but honestly, it's just that this verse is so appropriate to this topic, and that's that He restores my soul. Chapter 6 is called Getting Past Your Past. It's written by Cheryl Magnus. It's about how do you raise your children in the Christian faith when you were not raised in that faith yourself. Her verse is, He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Chapter 7 is titled Incompatible with Life, written by Magdalena Schultz, who is a mother of a child who in utero was pronounced incompatible with life. And what is it to be a mother, regardless of whether you know if your child's going to live or die? Magdalena's chapter has been paired with, Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Chapter 8, written by Deaconess Heidi D. Sias, is titled When God is Hiding. And she's talking about what is it to live with a chronic disease. And her chapter is paired with the psalm verse, For you are with me. Chapter 9, Spare the Rod. Can you guess what verse it's tied with? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Deaconess Kristen Wasilak of Concordia, Chicago, she's talking about how do we live through circumstances when sometimes we doubt whether the Good Shepherd's rod and staff really comfort us. Chapter 10, Living the Creed by Molly Hemingway. She's talking about living the faith in the public arena, and her verse is, You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Chapter 11 is O Bride of Christ, Rejoice, written by Heather Smith. She is helping us understand the sorrow and loneliness that often accompany wanting the gift of family life when you have not been given the gift of a spouse. And her chapter is paired with the verse, "You anoint my head with oil." Chapter 12, called Torn in Two, is by Julia Habrecht. She's writing about what it is to be a mother and a headmaster of a school. What is it to be torn in two? Her verse is, "My cup overflows," or as I like to tease her, "Her cups overflow." Chapter 13 is titled, "I Remember You." It's written by Deaconess Pamela Bela Silva, and she is writing about her mother who has dementia, who has trouble remembering others. And her verse is, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And the final chapter of our book, chapter 14, called Train Up a Child, is written by Cheryl Swope. She and I both are taking on two chapters each in this book. And she is writing about what it is when our children leave the faith. And the verse that starts her chapter is, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And so that's the structure of the book. So obviously these psalm verses are very much shaping and guiding what each author is writing. And for me, chapter one, I have, "The Lord is my shepherd." And when I typed those words at the head of my manuscript, I actually intended to write something very different. I was planning on writing kind of an introductory chapter on what it is to lament and how that is different from despairing. But I'll tell you what, that is not what I wrote that first chapter about. As soon as I typed the words, "The Lord is my shepherd," across the top of my page, I found that I went to a very different place. I ended up writing about something very personal, something that has been difficult for me and my family in the last couple of years. And I'm kind of addressing this idea of, "The Lord is my shepherd, and yes, I am in his green pasture, but suffering still comes to me. There's still disease and death dotted across this peaceful landscape of life in Christ. Sorrow and sickness and sin come even to the sheep of his hand." I'm thinking of Psalm 95, verse 7, where it says, "We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." Well, when terrible things come your way, it can be surprising. You're not expecting suffering to come to the sheep of his hand. And so I'm kind of exploring these questions of why do pain and persecution flourish along this path of righteousness? How can sickness and sin reside beside the Lord's still waters? And I'm applying it to a personal experience. And so I'm kind of addressing, I am a sheep. I have been baptized into Christ. He is my good shepherd. But why do I hurt so much? And kind of looking to God's word for some answers. You know, sometimes we don't have exact trite answers to all of our questions. God's ways are not our ways. But he does give us some markers in his word that kind of give us an idea for why we might have this pain, why we might suffer. And I discuss some of those reasons in that chapter.
You mentioned that you write about your own personal experience. What can we expect from the authors throughout this book? Your first chapter is about your own experience. What else can we expect throughout the book? Are all the authors writing about their own personal experiences?
Great question. I'll use myself as an example. I'm writing two chapters. This first chapter is in the first person, and I am writing about some personal experiences. The other chapter that I write is in the third person. I'm writing about other people. I interviewed a couple of women, and we'll discuss that, I'm sure, at another interview, but it was more appropriate for me to write as one observing a situation rather than as one living through it and experiencing it in real time. We have a nice balance in this book. Most of the chapters are in the first person. Many of our authors are writing on topics that they are experts in, experts because they're living through it themselves. And that's one of the many reasons we chose these specific authors, is because of the experience they bring to the table, as well as their many talents, and also their faithful confession of what it is to be a sheep in Christ's pasture. But then we also have some authors who are taking up topics on others' behalf, on the behalf of others. Rebecca Mays, myself, Cheryl Swope, we're writing chapters about things that can happen to people, different crosses women struggle with, and we're writing them, trying to tell these women's story that the reader might benefit to know better how to care for her and her particular kind of suffering. And in our cases, sometimes that means interviewing other people and then taking what we learn from them and writing a narrative about it.
We have about 2 minutes left.
Narrow it down.
There's always so much to ask and all these questions going through my head. I think with this first chapter, and you mentioned that whether or not you've actually experienced the things that these women have written about, it helps to be able to care for others who may have had dealt with these crosses. But this first chapter, I think, really binds us all together, I guess, in a way, because we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we do have the same shepherd.
Yes. While the personal pronoun my is in that verse, the Lord is my shepherd, he's also your shepherd. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm writing a chapter about how I know the Lord is my shepherd, I'm actually hopefully encouraging you to see how he is also yours. And that's one of the reasons that I think it is appropriate sometimes to write in the first person. It's not because we're trying to distinguish ourselves from others. Mm-hmm. We're actually trying to show what we have in common. And while the name of our cross may not be the same, the fact that we bear crosses is the same. And the promises of God given to us amid suffering are the same for all of us. And so while I might write about a personal experience, and while maybe the reader may not be able to relate to that experience, that reader sure is going to relate to the promises of God that I quote. And that's where I think it's so helpful for us to listen to each other's stories, not only because usually we are encouraged, our faith is strengthened by the hearing of that same word, but the other reason is that if I'm listening to somebody else talk about their suffering, I can learn how better to care for them. And isn't that one of the most important things that we do in the body of Christ, is to care for each other? We have 7 commandments that deal with that from our Lord. And so, you know, we love the Lord with all our heart, soul, and mind, and we love our neighbor as ourselves. And so I think these books where we hear about individual experiences have very little to do with the individual, actually.
Absolutely. And Katie, we're all out of time.
Sorry.
Again. Katie Schuurman, author of a chapter in the book, He Restores My Soul, about what it is to be a sheep with a shepherd. Thanks so much for joining us today, Katie.
Thanks for giving me a chance to talk about it.
You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Goldseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.